right, I'm gonna let this music run its course because I'm not feeling it. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. In January, on the 4th, I believe it was, I proposed to Rebecca again. On the 4th of January, I did it again via email. I did it again last week, and I did it again this past weekend. I got an email from her last night that really wasn't an email at all. It was a subject line that said, "None of your correspondences, your texts, or your emails have been opened since September 2012. They have all been deleted. They were never read, and nothing you send me ever will be read." Once again, I was leveled because I have not given up on the woman God gave me to love. I'm telling you this for a reason. Number one, I'm not going to pretend to be happy and jolly when I'm flat. Number two, I'm real with you. I always have been. To live is Christ. It's not like my Christ life / ministry life over here and my life over there. My life is my Christ ministry life. And so I talk to you, my friends. God gave me a love for my wife that was the love of Christ. And this love of Christ is unconditional. That's the problem with it, is that it can survive unreciprocated. And none of the texts or the emails I sent her since September 2012 were ever reciprocated. This was one of the hardest experiences I've ever gone through. And if anybody has gone through trying to reach out to a loved one, someone who you would give your life for, and not ever have them talk to you and have them pretend and act as if you never existed, it's some of the most horrific, deepest pain imaginable. When I entered into this, I entered into the suffering of Christ. I don't have a Messiah complex. I didn't make up Ephesians chapter 5, where our apostle tells husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the ecclesia and gives himself up for its sake. Christ sacrificed himself for an ecclesia that when he was on the cross didn't give a damn. And yet he loved. He loved even while he was on the cross. I don't have a Messiah complex. I have a love complex that God gave me. My wife was hurt over the years since she was very small with abuse issues. She has talked about these openly in my newsletter from April 7th, 2012. Quote, "Our Heavenly Father knew that with my background, I could not be with a man who so much as raised his voice. Martin never does. I would crumple inside. I would have flashbacks and such fright that I would shut down to him. Emotional walls grow thick and stubborn after years of anxiety and fear," unquote. And that's what my wife had experienced for years, anxiety and fear. God put me in her life to make her feel safe, to let her open up to someone for the first time. I did not realize for 15 months, that this was contingent on never even raising my voice. On June 26, 2012, the city of Colorado Springs was practically burning down. 212 homes in our neighborhood burned to the ground. Our own apartment was besieged. We were there at the last moments before they closed down Garden of the Gods Road. Fire was on the hillsides. Helicopters were flying over our apartment. And we fled with whatever stuff we could put in our two cars, and we drove to a Bible study. We drove to the home of Jerry and Isla Visser, and Clyde Pilkington was still there from the conference we had just had in Monument, Colorado. And I'll never forget. Now, keep this in mind, our book had just come out, The First Idiot in Heaven. That book, Rebecca edited and did a fine job editing it, and that was our joint effort to put forth the gospel of grace in the world today. And Clyde was giving the Bible study that night, and I'll never forget this. First, he thanked God for the ecclesia there in Colorado Springs, which is very rare to have a group of people who love each other and who believe the gospel of grace and who gather together in the name of Christ. Then he looked at Rebecca and me. Now, we had just come from being evacuated. We had been in the smoke. The fire trucks were everywhere. The smoke, again, the flames were on the hillside behind our apartment. We smelled, we reeked of smoke. And there we were sitting on our one-year anniversary, June 26, 2012. And Clyde looked at us and he said, "I want you to pray for these two especially. Pray for Martin and Rebecca because they are on the front lines. They are putting forth this gospel and they will be opposed. They are going to be attacked. They need your special prayers because they're doing a job that few do on this earth." And I will never forget that. And Rebecca and I both had tears in our eyes and we held hands and we looked at each other. Little did we know that in less than an hour, we were going to be on the road going to the home where we were evacuated to, and an event was going to happen that was going to change our marriage. As I just read to you from the newsletter, quote, "Our Heavenly Father knows that with my background, I could not be with a man who so much as raised his voice. Martin never does. I would crumple inside. I would have flashbacks and such fright that I would shut down to him. Emotional walls grow thick and stubborn after years of anxiety and fear. That day, for the first time, I expressed irritation from the back seat of the car with Rebecca and her mom in the front seat. I expressed irritation at a tone louder than usual, and that was a post-traumatic stress trigger in the life of my wife. That was a post-traumatic stress trigger for Rebecca, and she shut down to me, and our marriage ended. There were other things involved, but this was the core, this was the key, as I expressed to many of you in the letter I wrote that you asked for. Many of you don't want to hear this. I don't want to be talking about this, but I received the email last night and I'm fresh from it, and I'm fresh from the discovery that those willing, that those wanting to live devoutly in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted by the witting and the unwitting. Rebecca is the unwitting. She doesn't mean to be doing this, but the rejection, the abandonment is the deepest pain anyone will ever feel. And it comes from so many different sources. In the end, it's inspired by pain and by grief, by anguish, all things that Satan brings into our lives. For Rebecca, it was past traumatic experiences that she could not get over. In my mind, love conquers everything. God had given me the love of Jesus Christ for her. And maybe I'm naive, but I thought, and I still think, that that love can conquer everything. And I prayed and I hoped that the texts I was sending her over this past 6 months, I wasn't inundating her. I wasn't sending them every day. I sent maybe one a month, just little notes that I loved her, that I still loved her. And I hate to even talk about this word because I hate this word. I hate the word divorce. I hate it with every fiber of my being. I usually call it the D word. Well, that was final on January the 2nd, and I thought, okay, there, God broke it. We set up something, God created something, he broke it, and now the Spirit of God is going to vibrate on it. And this is why I thought that. Ironically enough, during that, also on that weekend of June 26th, the conference at Colorado Springs was on, and I was speaking on a topic that I called the Genesis Solution. In that topic, I brought out how God was a three-part operation constantly. He's always making something, breaking something, and then remaking it better than it was constantly. I brought out the first three verbs in the book of Genesis, created by the Elohim, or the heavens and the earth. First verb is created. Then the earth became a chaos and vacant. Second verb, became. It became chaos and vacant. Then the Spirit of God vibrated upon the waters. Vibrated, that's the third verb. God creates, he breaks it, and then his Spirit vibrates. And he does this all throughout Scripture. He does it with Adam, creates Adam, then we see Adam falling, quote unquote. He demolishes him. It's the disruption of Adam. Then comes the remaking, when God brings forth a new humanity through the new Adam. We see Israel. God brings a fresh nation from Mount Sinai. They're sinning right away, and he has to divorce them. So he breaks them. And then we know in the end, God is going to remake them, put his spirit on their heart. Joseph, he gives Joseph dreams of glory. This is the God creating Joseph. Now the disruption of Joseph's world comes in. He becomes a chaos and vacant. He gets thrown into the pit. He's a slave in Egypt. After 27 years, however, the Spirit of God vibrates upon Joseph's waters, and he's lifted to glory in Egypt. Abraham, God creates Abraham. He gives him a promise that you're going to have a son. You're going to be father of a multitude. Abraham looks around. He can't even have a child, can't have one, let alone a multitude. God has disrupted him, broken him, cannot reproduce. Years go by, then the Spirit of God vibrates upon him, and he produces the Son of Promise. This goes on all throughout Scriptures. It's the way God operates. So I thought, oh, here it is. God creates Martin and Rebecca. He gives us a beautiful wedding in Garden of the Gods, and he sets us up as the ultimate couple, the super couple. We're going to change the world for him. Then what happens? A breaking. In conjunction with the fire, in conjunction with our first anniversary, in conjunction with the publication of the best book on the Apostle Paul ever written, The First Idiot in Heaven, in conjunction with the benediction we received that evening, that dreadful evening, by Clyde Pilkington. Pray for these two. They're going to be attacked by the adversary. And within an hour, we were attacked by the adversary. And things began to happen, weird things, strange things that today I cannot explain. And that today I don't believe belong to the essence of the woman I know as Rebecca. These things are not her essence. Something came over her and attacked her. There. All right. I accept that, God. It's the disruption of the world. It's your pattern. It's what you always do. You created us. Now you break us. And now in my fantasy, my ultimate fantasy was now it's done. And I waited until January the 2nd, till that divorce was final. And it was in the grave and the doors were locked and the stone was rolled in front of the tomb. I waited till that moment. There's another example, isn't it? Our Lord Jesus Christ, he's dead, dead, dead. 3 days, no discussions. The stone is rolled there, and you don't hear from him for 3 days, and the Spirit of God vibrates. Our marriage was finished in the flesh. And my fantasy was, I'm going to continue to love this woman. I did not resolve that from some sort of exercise of the will. I had to do it. I didn't have any choice but to do it because the Spirit of God vibrated on me and gave me an unconditional love for her. And back in those days of October of 2012, when these horrible things were happening, July through October, the more trial that happened, the more I loved her. I could not understand it. It was as if, I'm sorry, I don't have a Messiah complex, but it was as if I was on a cross and I was being stabbed and I was loving more and more with each thrust of the spear. I do not have a Messiah complex. I did not write Ephesians chapter 5 when Paul tells husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the ecclesia. I didn't make that up, and gives himself up for her sake. I didn't write that, but I experienced it. God gave that to me. I'd never felt it to that extent before. It was a miracle. And I sustained that, and I thought, I will carry this woman through her trauma, through her nightmares, through the valley of the shadow of her death, whatever she experienced before in her life that did not allow her to absorb a common stress in the most stressful time imaginable. Whatever spirit made that happen to her, I would sustain it. I would carry it. My fantasy then was to really take her pain, to be able to carry it, to be a Christ figure for her, and to love her no matter what, because that's what God gave me. And to have that unrequited again is the worst pain imaginable. And now to find out just last night, I mean, it's part of my fantasy was I'm thinking that she's reading these little texts, these little letters, these missives of love that I sent to her. I never heard back from her, never, never. But I still sent them. I still sent them because some corner of my mind, she's reading this. She's imbibing of it. It's somehow working in her spirit. And now to find last night that everything I sent her from September 2012 had never even been opened, let alone read. It was deleted on the spot, and anything I send her ever will be deleted, and I'm to not contact her ever again. Why do I tell you this? I think it's this. I'm not sure why, except this. Is that it is on record. It is on record to you. It is on record to the celestials and to Christ that I love this woman with the love of Christ, with the agape love of Christ, and that my love has gone forth and it somehow, some way will not be returned to me void. And I don't know if that's going to happen in this life. Apparently not. Apparently not. I have to go on because I have been torturing myself. And I texted someone this morning and I said, why is God torturing me? I wept last night. It was as if it was happening all over again to me. The wounds opened up again, and I felt the pain again of abandonment and rejection, which to me is the worst pain human beings can suffer. And in this, I almost want to say I'm thankful to God for this, but in another sense, I'm angry about it. But I learned to taste, I got an experience of the suffering of Christ, who, when he was dying, blessed. And again, this is not in me. I'm really trying hard not to be self-serving with this. I'm just telling you what I experienced because I can't hide from you. I'm not going to pretend everything's fine. I want you to know about this. I want this to be a testimony. And I pray that something about this, what I've said here, helps somebody. I think it's helping me by telling you. And it's out there. I want it out there. I know I'm not even supposed to talk about her. She told me before that I can't even mention her name or else bad things would happen. You know, I don't care. I have to testify of this. I hope it's not taken the wrong way. I don't want to hurt anybody again. But again, this happened to me. It's a huge thing in my life, and you're a huge part of my life. And so let this be a testimony for whatever reason to God, to you, to the celestial realm, maybe to Rebecca, I don't know. But it's out now, and I have to move on. I don't want to, but I have to. You know, you think, I thought you moved on, Martin. This happened back in October. I still had not moved on, and that's what I'm telling you. I had not moved on. I could not move on because of what God gave me. What God gave me will never stop, but I have to go. I have to leave. I love being married. I love giving my love and my life to a woman. I am going to seek a wife because I need a wife. It's not good for a man to be alone. It's not good for me to be alone. It's not. And so God help me to heal. God help anyone else out there who's going through what I've been through and what I'm going through. I pray for you. I could never feel that kind of pain before. I could never empathize with it, but I can now. I can empathize with anyone who's either suffered this from a loved one, from a child, the rejection while they live. It's so much easier if they would just die. I'm not wishing for anyone to die, but I can see where death is to be preferred over to be rejected by those who are still alive. And through this, I've also come into a vital contact and connection with the Apostle Paul, who said in 2 Timothy, all in Asia have forsaken me. Those who wish to live devoutly in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted. They're going to suffer. I wish something about me was calloused. I wish I could just keep my heart and close that iron curtain. Rebecca is able to do that because of the trauma of the past. It's not healthy. It's not good to close the iron curtain of your heart so hard that you have to pretend you were never with this person, that you have to pretend he never existed, that something is diabolically, desperately wrong there. And I pray for her along that line. And I want you to pray for her too and pray for me. I don't mean anyone harm. Thank you for being my friend. Thank you for listening to these shows. You know, I'm all over the place sometimes. I know I'm all over the place tonight, but that's my heart. I can't help but put it out there. I wish I could put it in a lockbox and throw away the key, but I can't. I can't. I can't.